Good morning, everyone. My name's Callum, and I'll be reading from Romans 8, 5 to 11, if you'd like to join along. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of the righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you.
Thank you, Callum. So we've got Will, we've got Callum, we've got James. You're halfway there, well, maybe not quite, but you've got three names that you can absolutely know. If anyone of you know me, you know that this statement is true. I enjoy gardening. All you have to do is drive past my house and all my veggie gardens are out the front, which was an intentional choice. We moved into the neighbourhood. I know how easy it is now in our culture to have our garage doors to open, to drive in, and to never have to see anyone else that's around us because we can hide in our homes. And so I did intentionally decide to put our veggie gardens out the front. Now also, there's a whole lot of space in our front yard and I don't need all that grass to mow. I don't need extra maintenance in that regard. I'd much rather have something which is fruitful and life-giving. And so I enjoy going out and pottering, trying to work out what's going on in the different garden beds, looking at the different seasons. I've got some corn that I'm just about to pick. We've had some really good, some beans that have been going, some giant capsicum. I had a really nice butternut pumpkin during the week that had grown on our little vine on there. I really enjoy gardening. And one of the realities of gardening is there's some different things you need to do. You need to work out the right amount of water. And not every plant has the same water needs. And so you've got to kind of work out what to plant and where to plant it. Make sure the right season, if it's getting water in the summer, you need to catch when the retic breaks in summer because otherwise you don't get much at all. You've got to make sure the right nutrients are going in, the right fertilizers, the right extra bits and pieces around that. And you also need to make sure it has the right sunlight. And so some plants grow really well in winter because they want the direct sun, but not the baking sun. Whereas there are some plants that are really happy to have that summer sun just scorching down on them. And you need to work out what those plants are and how they do that. But then there's the other side to this as well. And the other side is that we need to remove pests. I have never had caterpillars like I have at the house I live in now. Like, I've lived in quite a few houses and I've had all kinds of pests, but I cannot. This is about the fourth season now that I've been there, and I just think that I'm getting on top of these pesky little things. I opened up a capsicum recently because there was a little hole in it. I was like, oh, there's something happy inside. And I opened it up and it was like this thick. This little caterpillar was gorging itself on one of my luscious, delicious capsicum. We have to prune it correctly. If you over-prune something at the wrong time, it won't necessarily fruit the way you wanted it to fruit, particularly with fruit trees. And I've never been into fruit trees. It's only been since we moved to our new house that I've started to try and get to know them. They are a whole different ballgame to vegetables, especially once you put them in pots, because you can't, like a lemon tree, you can plant a lemon tree just in your garden, and many Australians will just know there's that giant lemon tree in grandma's house, and they just grow and produce all kinds of things. You put a lemon tree in a pot, all kinds of differences actually happen, and you've really got to make sure you fertilize at the right time and repot it every couple of years and check for its leaves to be growing the right ways. And then you get into this topic of companion planting. Surprise, surprise, there are some plants that really grow well together, And there are some plants that don't grow well together. There are also some plants that help mitigate pests. One of the most common ones is actually planting marigolds. If you plant marigolds in your vegetable garden, they actually help because there are lots of pests that don't like the smell that comes from the flower of a marigold. And so you can plant them, intersperse them amongst your vegetables, and it will keep away some of the pests that are actually going on. Now, you might think, okay, James is just going to ramble about gardening all day. No, I'm obviously not. But there is a reason for this. And surprise, surprise, if you've read your Bibles, you will know that this kind of reality, this kind of metaphor of gardening and of life, of planting, is actually a very close synergy with the idea of faith and what the life of faith is like. In faith, we need to work out we're getting the right nutrients, we're getting the right sustenance, we're getting the right things that are going in. We need to make sure we're in the right community. We need to make sure we're getting the right connection with one another. But we also need to make sure we're watching out for pests. We're looking out for things that might detract from us. We need to make sure we're looking at temptations and things that might draw us away from God. And looking at companion planting, actually, have we got the people in our lives that will speak to us honestly, that will actually press in and say, hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but. Or, hey, that thing you just did, man, that was amazing, great job. The life of faith is so much like gardening. But there's another ingredient that we all need that we're going to explore today. So we're continuing our series today looking at, are there areas in your life that you feel like this? Are there areas that you want to learn and to grow and to stretch, to press into? We're doing our series today on the gospel. So we're just about the end of this series. We started way back, I think at the beginning of March, looking at the good world that God created. We built up to the crescendo of Easter and of the reality of the life, the death of resurrection of Jesus. That is at the very heart of the gospel of who we are and of what is important. And so we're spending these last few weeks after Easter looking at what does the Christian life look like? What happens after Easter? After you've decided, yes, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus did live, Jesus did die, and Jesus did rise again. How do you live the rest of your life? What does the gospel have to say? What does the gospel have to offer you beyond just knowing that you have your salvation and will get to spend eternity with the Father? 2 weeks ago, this was, we looked at, in response to Jesus, learn to live outwardly what Jesus has done for you inwardly. So Jesus has done everything that is required to renew and restore your relationship with God. But for whatever reason, and I will ask God when I get to heaven, when I meet him, I will ask him, he doesn't just zap everything away. He doesn't just go, and that's it, everything's all sorted. Now you get to live the rest of your life in fullness without any issues or any challenges. We spend the rest of our lives learning to live outwardly the reality that he has already given us on the inside. So there is some good news, and this is the extra ingredient, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of our time today, wrestling with what we need to do, but recognizing that we actually can't do this alone, and that God, in his infinite wisdom, provides us a way and a support with this. John 14, verse 15 to 17 says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." There's this great time where Jesus is teaching. So Jesus is letting his disciples know, even though I'm not going to be here, you will not be left alone. You will receive this Holy Spirit, and you will know him. You will know him. It's amazing that, so where it goes here is Jesus starts this by saying, it actually gives a very clear expectations. If you love me, there is something you will do. If you love me, you will keep my commands. That the response to recognizing Jesus' love is that we would have a desire to do this. It is that we wouldn't just go, you know what, I'm free now, I can go and do whatever I want to do. Doesn't matter what Jesus told me to do, I'm just going to go and live for myself. That is not the response of love. If you love your spouse, if you love your friends, that love changes your relationship. It changes how you interact with them. It makes you desire the best for them and the best of them. It makes you desire to be in the right relationship with them. And so Jesus says to his disciples, this is what love looks like. You will desire to do my commands. But he recognizes that we won't necessarily be able to do that alone. So he promises the Spirit, promises that we will have this there. We get help for this. It continues on, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. A couple of key words here is there is a need for ongoing teaching. There is a need for ongoing reminding that for the rest of our lives, this will be part of what we do. I love sitting down with people who are towards the twilight years of their life. And I love when I sit down and listen and they tell me how they're reading the Bible and still getting something new. When I sit with them and they say, I was just reading Habakkuk 26 last week. I'm not sure if there's 26 chapters in Habakkuk. I'm just guessing there. There's your thing. By the end of the service, someone can tell me, is there 26 chapters in Habakkuk? But I was reading through this book and God said to me, they haven't gone, you know, I'm just waiting to see what goes on. They're still pressing in. They're still learning and growing because until Jesus returns, there is a need to be reminded by the Spirit of what his commands are and how we can be living them out and how we can be inspiring one another to do these things. But again, God in his wisdom doesn't leave us alone to do this. He gives us the Spirit to guide us and to challenge us and to help us grow. And then there's these little bits at the end here. This is a really good meditative passage. If you're ever feeling really just down in the dumps, can I encourage you, John 14, it's actually a really good place just to sit and slowly work your way through and just read it word by word, verse by verse, even prayerfully. There's a really good way of reading the Bible. Read a verse and then pray the verse. Read the verse and then let that be an inspiration for you to then pray back to God what the words of that verse were. Because you get to hear where it says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. I don't know what you've brought to church today in your own heart and your own minds. I don't know what might be going on for you. Whether you might be feeling some challenges or some discontent or some unease or what it might be. But this is where Jesus reminds us that his Spirit is the bringer of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. There's a lot of things in our world that make us feel a lack of peace. And so this is a great reminder in John 14 that the giver of life is the bringer of peace. And pressing into his word and what he has for you is what brings you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Maybe that's for you this morning. In Acts 1 verse 8, we get these words, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then in reference to receiving this power, we're given a task, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we're all packing up shop, heading to Judea next week. No, that's not how it works. Again, that was the location that they found themselves in. They were the places that the people at the time, that was what was real for them. But this is actually the heartbeat of part of our mission, part of our vision as a church, is that we often talk about we are the church in Austin Lakes. We are the church in South Yundarup. We are a church in the Shire of Murray. We're a church in the Peel region. We're a church to the ends of the earth. That's our location. That's our focus. But again, it's the Spirit that gives us power to do this. As I shared with you before about what the people in the team that we need, I actually don't share you that with anxiety. Like, I almost feel like I should be more anxious than I am, except that I know biblically I shouldn't be anyway, but I'm actually not anxious about those things. Now, we've had some different challenges going on in the last few weeks, and people ask me, like, how are you going? Because most people are like, because you shouldn't be going okay. There's been some really difficult things going on. And I can't help but say that actually last Monday or the Monday before, I was at pastor's conference, and one of the things I asked was, what do you have that helps you thrive? And I said, patience. I don't know why I have this patience. Actually, I don't know why. Because the Spirit gifts it to us. It's something that for whatever reason God has given us in this time, it is His power that will do the work. We just come and partner with the Spirit. So we can't be lazy. We can't just sit back and relax and go, well, the Spirit's going to do all the work for me. No, the Spirit empowers us to act. We are the hands and feet. We are the body of Christ. So yes, we are called to go. Yes, we are called to do. But it's not out of our own strength. The source of our doing is the Holy Spirit. The source of our church's strength will be the Holy Spirit. It's not because we're fancy. It's not because we'll get all the right pieces and we'll be really smart and do it really well. If we're drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit, He will empower us to do these things. He will be the bringer of our needs. He will be the one that helps us. But we will receive power as the Spirit works in and through us. We don't need to look forward to a time when the Spirit will come because the Spirit is here. The Spirit is alive and active in our church. The Holy Spirit empowers us for life and mission. Except that phrase is a dichotomy. Because it's true, we often say the Spirit will empower us for life and mission. Actually, that is you don't just have life and you have mission. Our life is our mission. Mission is our life. Everything we do, one of the challenges that we have is we live in a very individualistic culture, and we talked to this a bit last week. We also like to segment everything into little areas. And so what we often do is we go, well, there's my mission life. And there's my life. There's my church life, and that's where I do mission. And then I've got my work life, and I've got my family life, and I've got my hobby life, and I've got my gardening life, and we have all these little sections. But actually, the call of the Spirit doesn't go dormant when you're at work. The Spirit doesn't go dormant when you're out with your friends. The Spirit doesn't go dormant when you're on the volleyball court. I might need to remind myself of that sometimes. The Spirit doesn't go dormant in these other areas. They are all part of your mission. You don't just come to church to do church. You are the church as you go out and about, as you meet together where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is in their midst. Mission and life are synonymous parts. Once you decide to follow Jesus, every aspect of your life is mission. And so part of our role as the church is to empower you for those things, to help you realize, to recognize when you're in the classroom, to help you realize when you're on the tools, to help you realize when you're in the car heading to work, that you are on mission in that time and in that place. But you are not alone. The Spirit is there to lead and to guide. Because if we try and do any of this by ourselves, you will get exhausted. And we still do get exhausted. We're still not perfect people. We still bite off more than we can chew. We still go, you know, I can do this. And then we start doing it and go, oh, I was wrong. Okay. But it's the Spirit that will empower you and will challenge you and provoke you and help you to do this in a special way. Romans 8:14-17 says this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I want you to imagine for a moment, and hopefully this isn't a true story for you, because maybe this will bring some things up. I apologize if it's true. I want to imagine that you're a child again. And you're lost in a shopping center. You're at the Mandra Forum. Let's make this real, shall we? You're a five-year-old child separated from your parents at the Mandra Forum. Could be worse, could be another forum maybe, but it's, you know, it could be interesting as well. Imagine the emotions you'd be feeling right now. Imagine how you'd be like, what's going on? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Who's safe? Who's not safe? And then I want you to imagine the moment that you see your parent. Maybe it's they've just come close to you, or maybe you can see them in the distance. Here's the reality. Only one thing has changed. Only one thing has changed. You now know where your parent is. You're still in the exact same location. The dynamics of the area are still the same. Everything about it is still the same, except that you now know who is there to care for you. You now know who's there to protect you. One of the joys that we have having the Spirit in our lives is the Spirit doesn't necessarily change our circumstances. He doesn't mean that we don't go through the valleys. It doesn't mean we don't go through the challenges. It doesn't mean that we don't have a sense of what's going on and uncertainty and all of those things that you might have if you are lost in a shopping center. But if you know God, if you know the Spirit, if the Spirit is alive and active in your life and you have a relationship with God, you face all of those things with the care and support of the Spirit that is with you. So you don't face those alone. Whether it's a diagnosis that you've received and you're not sure how you're going to handle this. Maybe it's a change in family circumstances, one that you didn't ask for, that you didn't seek. Maybe someone in your family has made a choice that impacts on you. Whether it's a workplace, maybe you're made redundant, or maybe there's a job role change, or you sense there needs to be one, but you've never been in anything other than what you're in now. How are you possibly going to step into that place? Every one of those things you enter into with the Spirit. So let the Spirit comfort you. Let the Spirit provide the source and the sustenance that you need. Let your friends and family know so that they too can be the arms and feet of the church that help to provide that support through the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22-25. A very common Sunday school verse that we learned very early on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I want to go back to my gardening metaphor. One of the things we often jump to here is, but it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, I need to be more loving. Joy, oh, I need to be more joyful. Peace, oh, I need to be more peaceful. And we immediately jump to, I need to. But don't miss the start of this verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is. When you let the Spirit live in you, when you let the Spirit work in you, when you let the Spirit have its way in and through you, these are the things that will grow. You won't become more peaceful just by saying, I'm going to be peaceful, I'm going to be peaceful, I'm going to be peaceful. I'm going to be more patient yesterday. That's not where these things come from. It's pressing into the Spirit. It's letting the Word of God in. It's spending time with friends and family and letting them speak to you through the Spirit's voice in your life. Because the Spirit acts as the master gardener. It's the Spirit that will help you work out the nutrients that you need. It's the Spirit that will help you work out what the pests are. Now, you still have a role to play. It's not that you just sit back and the Spirit does everything, but it's got to be in the power of the Spirit. It's got to be as the Spirit helps you and convicts you and challenges you. And if anyone, you know, when you're doing gardening, you actually can't do everything overnight. This is why a lot of people, they take up gardening and go, I'm going to start a garden. And you go to Bunnings and you fill up the trailer and you go and you plant it all, and 3 weeks later you forgot to water it. Because you got all excited and you wanted to do it all. But actually, gardening is a slow, low burn over time. And you potter and you prune a bit here and you plant a bit there and you take a little bit. You know, the Spirit doesn't try and fix everything overnight. Again, we'd love it if it did. But the Spirit knows that you have the rest of your life for this. And so the Spirit actually tries to work at a pace that can be sustainable. And so often we try and go, I'm going to fix all of my problems by tomorrow. And all we do is add another problem, because then we fail and go, and I fail again. The Spirit as the master gardener will guide you and correct you and just chip away at the pieces as you keep sustaining and growing and coming connected with the Spirit. It's at the Spirit's pace. So no matter where we find ourselves in faith and life, we're not alone. I wonder where you're at today. There are different roles that we have to play. One of the first roles for us is that God asks us to stay connected to Him. He asks us to stay connected. So what are you doing in your life to intentionally stay connected? Are you reading the Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? Maybe you need to start your day with this, or maybe you need to end your day with this, or maybe you need to do both. Or it's finding little places across the day. Things like saying grace before meals. You might feel like it's a flippant thing, but actually it's an intentional reminder of the blessings that food is in our life. Or maybe it's every time you get in the car, you just pray for traveling mercies. Now, you're a relatively good driver. You're not actually that concerned. But again, it's about making God's presence in your life every moment that you can. It's finding excuses to draw close to God in the day-to-day life. It's not getting one big meal once a week and saying, all right, I've got my sustenance for the week. Now I need to sort of get through till next week. That's too much pressure on yourself. Little bits of connection with God every day, across the week, across the month, across the years. That's what will sustain you. We have a role to stay connected with His body. The church was God's idea, and for all its strengths and weaknesses, and let me tell you, I could give you a long list of both. You probably could too. It is still God's plan for our fruitfulness. Being part of the local church, and whatever that means for you. Everyone has a different understanding of what their local church is. But being a part of a church, being a part of His body, is a key, because the Spirit will use that church to guide you and to stretch you and to prod you. And this is not just saying the Sunday. If all you do is connect in on the Sunday, you are robbing yourself of 6 days of connection. So we're going to run church every day. No, we're going to do that. Everyone's like, oh, where's this going? No, but here's the reality. There are ways for you to be connected to your church 7 days a week. Whether that's through one or two good friends that you make in that church and you just send texts back and forward each day. Where two or three are gathered, and I don't think God is against the internet and the world of sending texts and emails and phone calls. It's not like God goes, you know what, that doesn't count. No, of course it does. So it might be a daily text with just one or two people. It's that life group that you're a part of that you go with, whether it's weekly or fortnightly or whatever that looks like. It's recognizing that church is not a one day a week thing, but it's actually something that is part of our life. Maybe for you, another role is actually about staying away from temptation. You know the things that tempt you. You know the things that challenge you. You know the pests that can get into your life. And so are you putting up guardrails? Who knows? Who can you tell that you know can hold in confidence what you struggle with or what your challenges are? How can you make sure that you don't? So if you see a cheesecake, you will just devour it, then don't go to the cheesecake shop. Like, it's actually working out, what are your own guardrails? What do you put in place? And who knows that can encourage you with that? And stay aware of your limitations. Again, I want to be very clear, as I said before. Our call is not to overburden you and to say that you actually need to do more than you possibly can. The healthiest church will have you be in a healthy relationship with God. So maybe you actually need to do a bit of a spirit-guided prune. You need to look at if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling like there's just too much going on, maybe you've said yes to too many things. Maybe you need to schedule in a vacation. Maybe you need to say no to some of the things that you're committed to. Maybe there are too many hobbies. Yes, you might think seven hobbies is fantastic, but you probably don't have time for seven hobbies. So even good things, actually, some of the best pruning on a plant, you don't just prune off the bad bits. The best pruning of a plant is actually cutting hard to cut back good growth so that it actually has better growth in its new season. If all you do is cut off the bad things, you actually don't provide what the plant needs to fully thrive. Sometimes you've got to cut back good things to let that be great. And the last thing I wanted to just include here is an encouragement for all of us to remember and to be working towards is one of the goals of discipleship. Is that when you first come to faith, you are like a child in many ways in terms of faith. You rely on someone else for your sustenance. When a baby is born, the baby can't do anything. It needs its parents to make sure it gets its food. As it grows, that child can do more and more. And we reached a little bit of a milestone yesterday where we got to lay in bed because Toby was able to get Lily's breakfast for her. And so it was fantastic because, okay, yes, we're worried about the cereal spilling everywhere. And yes, we're worried the milk might get topped over. But we can clean all that up because they're at the stage where they can do that. But ultimately in life and faith, what maturity looks like in faith is that you actually get to the place that you can feed yourself. Not that that's the only way you get fed, not that that's the only aspect, because even when kids leave home, they have this pesky thing of coming back for dinner every now and then, or when they first leave home, they might just leave home at nighttime, but they still come and spend most of the day with you. But eventually they do actually move out, at least so I'm told, and then they come back for Christmas, and they come back for birthdays, and they come back for celebrations. But the ultimate sign of maturity is that you actually do learn to do these things. And then you stay in relationship. And this is true of discipleship. A mature believer isn't involved in places because it's their only way of being sustained. A mature believer actually can sustain their own spiritual life. But you keep connected with all these places because it is what the Bible taught us. Because you can then give to others. You can help them be built up. You can help them be restored. You can help them to grow. And it's an interconnected relationship, not because you are dependent upon them per se. You're dependent on the Spirit. You're dependent on God. That's where your dependence lies. But you continue through the Spirit to be in relationship. That's what it means to be a part of the church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We could not do this alone. It's just too much. So we thank you that in your wisdom, you've given us the Comforter, the Advocate, the Spirit. Lord, we pray that we would be a Spirit-filled church, that we wouldn't do things in our own strength. We wouldn't do things in our own wisdom. That in every day and every way, we would seek your Spirit's guidance and protection and help and support. That we would live for you in all that we do. And so we thank you for this in Jesus' name.